This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, visiting with Stanley Pignal of The Economist magazine. He is in Europe. He is the Charlemagne columnist, writing about the French election and the aftermath of the German election, certainly at the end of the pandemic, describing Italy's politics. But we come to outliers heretofore that may or may not be part of the story going forward. Suddenly, we've talked about single-issue voters. We've talked about right-wing voters. Viktor Orban was the bad boy of the European Union prior to the war in Ukraine. In fact, I remember his visit to Moscow right before the battalions were launched was seen as a striking fact, given the hostile words that were coming from Moscow at the time and Vladimir Putin in the meantime. He's now been reelected. Is that an outlier for the rest of Europe, or is that a warning to those who flirt with right-wing solutions?
Viktor Orban is somewhat of an outlier, but he used to have allies who were at least roughly in the same ideological space. That ideological space, he describes himself as an illiberal Democrat. I think we would describe him as a sort of a strongman politician, not a model unique to Europe, and indeed has been quite rare in Europe. Being part of the European Union, to become a part of the European Union, you needed to show a commitment to democracy, to the rule of law in the widest possible sense. And what Viktor Orban has done is essentially turned his back on that and said, you know, as long as I win elections, as long as I win in the ballot box, a lot of these nice principles, like making sure that the opposition can get airtime before elections, courts being run independently of the executive and so on, those kind of go out the window. And you end up with something which is a democracy of sorts, but falls way short of being a proper liberal democracy like you see in the rest of Europe.
Viktor Orban is not by himself, however, in Europe. Certainly Recep Erdogan of Turkey is a strongman president, concentrating all the power in his own hands. And there was the Polish example until recently. And here's where it gets complicated. Has Europe contained Orban? Has Europe confronted Erdogan in this war fighting in a fashion that is not going to remain? Or does Europe have tools to at least discipline outliers like Orban? And you mentioned the money tool. Is that sufficient to contain these, what you say, anti-immigrant, illiberal decision makers?
Yeah, so it used to be that Europe had very little sway over governments that were out of line, for example, on things like rule of law. Now, I think that's going to be less and less the case, which is why I think the Orban rules in Hungary and got a pretty convincing election victory. He doesn't matter as much as he used to. Why? Firstly, he's isolated. It used to be that a lot of his neighbors felt sympathetic to him, certainly Poland, but also the Czech Republic and Slovakia. They have moved away from that model somewhat. They've elected more centrist politicians. Poland is now in a major spat with Hungary because Hungary, as you mentioned, is quite close. Mr. Orban is quite close to Mr. Putin in Russia, whereas Poland views Russia and Russian expansionism as an existential threat. And then the third thing is all countries in Europe are entitled to what are EU funds, kind of like federal funds in the US. And what's happened in the last few years, it's still a work in progress, is that Europe has much more power to withhold money from governments that aren't doing what they think they should be doing. And that has been targeted at Poland and at Hungary. Now, Poland is kind of coming back a little bit into the tent. As you know, they've taken a lot of Ukrainian refugees, which is seen as doing the world a huge favor. Hungary, on the other hand, is still being very adversarial. It's still quite corrupt and still very close to Putin. And therefore, they might end up losing a lot of European money. And that's money which really you can't afford to give up, especially at the current moment where we see things like big energy price rises, which are weighing heavily on public finances.
And that takes us back to Russia. And so just here at the close, Stanley, as Europe now facing, because of the war, you're with us or against us, that question they'll put to Hungary, to Serbia, to the outliers, that you can't be both in Moscow and in Brussels at the same time. Is that conversation underway? We have a minute.
Yeah, I think there's an impatience now in Europe. They tolerated a lot of kind of pseudo strongmen over the years, including Mr. Putin in Russia, where they thought, you know, if we're trading with them, if we stay close to them, then maybe they will adopt our ways. Angela Merkel, who was very keen on this approach, you know, try to reform other countries through trade. She's no longer around, and the war in Europe, actual kind of, you know, tanks rolling into a European country, has made people realize actually this is a strategy that has not worked. So it's exactly as you say, it's either you're with us or you're against us. Poland has made its camp. It is going to be with the European side. Hungary, I think, ultimately is going to have to be on the European side because it has really no other options. And that, I think, is going to involve it eating a certain amount of humble pie. The last one, which I think we need to talk about, is the Balkans, the Western Balkans, yes, which are not in the EU, and where Russia has a great deal of sway. They've been trying to get into the EU for many years and haven't been successful. There is a real risk there that that Europe loses the Western Balkans, and that those countries fall into the ambit of Russia and also very possibly of China, that's been investing there very, very heavily. So that is going to be a geopolitical hotspot in the next few years to come.
Stanley Pignall of The Economist. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.